Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, some people say a haunting announces itself. This one didn't. It waited until a young mother was alone in a new apartment late at night doing something completely ordinary. And then it whispered her name.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and yes, 855-853-4802 is our phone number if you want to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. And you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com and share your story however you would like to share it. I don't know why I sung that there.
The little fingers thing.
Share your story.
What was up with the fingers?
I was like typing. I was typing, you know, because you go to the website, you type your story in, you know. Although you could verbally do it, you know, on a phone too, with the, you know, just text to voice, you know, thing too. Lots of ways to share your story with us. You have no excuse, so fucking do it. No, I'm kidding. That's all I got. I'm Tony. How are you? That's Todd and that's Carol.
Yeah.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Last week we were talking about how the fact that you were just a little bit of a Scrooge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where did you call it? You had a word like apocalyptic or
purgatory.
Purgatory. That was
The time between Thanksgiving and Christmas is this purgatory season.
That's right.
And Todd was like, "You mean Christmas season?"
The holidays, perhaps.
Yeah. That's I don't know. I think people may relate to that a bit, but I don't know. But now, I mean, this week, the ghosts have all visited me, and I'm just, everything's wonderful and great, and yeah. So there you go. We're working on Christmas Day.
Christmas, right?
What's that?
Your parents are coming.
Yes, Christmas. They are.
So they should be here soon?
I think the 23rd or so.
Okay, you know, next week.
Yeah, I mean, as of when we're recording this, yeah.
And, I think I'm going to drive to Iowa.
Shut up. Really?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. How long are your parents in town, Tony?
I don't know the exact answer to that. I think like four or five days. I have to find out so I can make my advent calendar for that.
The faster you open up the doors on the advent calendar, the sooner they go home. Just
every
so you
day
know.
It's like, oh, look at this. Jim Beam behind this door. Oh my God. There's like seven of them in this one day. No, I'm kidding.
I'm going, and Todd doesn't, he's not super familiar with that building that Kathy used to own that my other sister now owns, and they have a restaurant in the bottom of it, and Kathy lived in an apartment upstairs, very haunted. And now my nephew is living up there again, and he's like, well, you know, Aunt Carol, if you want, you can stay with me. And I'm like, no, I'm gonna buy out.
We've like done episodes on this place before, haven't we?
I will pay for a hotel before I stay with you. Thank you. But no, I don't want to stay there again.
What kind of stuff is going on?
All kinds of things. He has seen, in fact, he was laying on the sofa one night and something caught his eye. He looked up and saw a woman go across his kitchen, which would basically be she walked into the wall from where she was. And he described her like she had kind of a hair pulled back and a bun. Like that's how well he saw her. But the crazy thing is that there is so the front of it's an apartment. The back of it, as much space is just open. Like there's a wall there and it's just like storage back there. And it used to be a funeral home. And they stored hay up there at the time.
that to be like the side, the way you like kind of put that as a side note.
Yeah.
And it used to be a funeral home. And then they stored hay there.
It was a funeral home. So at the back of the second floor, back where it's just storage. It's just this big empty room with those light bulbs. You know, you pull the string. Mm-hmm. Way back in the corner is what looks like to be a family, part of a family stone. You know how back in the day it would just say like Hughes would be the middle stone. And then it would have the kids lined up and it might say Carol, Kathy.
Right.
And so there's a stone like that in the back that says Edith, which is very strange.
A headstone?
Yeah.
Like
that's what it looks like.
Someone's buried there.
It doesn't have any dates on it or anything. It's almost like somebody.
What if it was like a pet ferret or something?
I don't know. I would see the pet ferret being like any other name but Edith. It's just strange. It's just in the back room. It just says Edith. So
okay.
The woman that Giovanni saw, is that Edith? And it's interesting because Kathy always felt like it was a man there. Giovanni has actually seen a woman, or is it more than one thing? So it doesn't matter. I'm not staying there.
But you will go visit, right?
Yeah, the restaurant is on the main floor. So we do a lot at the restaurant. We have get-togethers and stuff at the restaurant.
Please send me pictures.
I could please send you pictures right now. But I
No, I mean, you. When you go, you're going to go for Christmas?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Send me, that will be your Christmas gift to me. Pictures from Edith's tomb.
You okay. Want to see it? It's just, yes. I can send you pictures. It's just in the back there, and it's just there. And it's interesting, like, it'd have to go back to when it was a funeral home because there's not that kind of stone that you need for anything that's flat. You know, I think maybe Edith might be angled slightly or not. I don't remember. I have to look at it again. But it's about, I don't know, it's pretty good size.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting. Why would you ever even make that? Unless you're using it for some burial purposes.
I got to say, I did some research here, and I think you're right. Edith does not seem like a ferret name.
No, it doesn't really.
But we do have historical names for ferrets.
Oh, like?
That we can go through. If we're looking back to the 1900s to 1930s, the widely used names, but these ferrets were widely used for hunting back then, rabbiting, actually.
Oh.
So they had names like Bandit, Nipper, Slink, Whisker, Pip, Sooty, Shadow, Tinker. Those are some of the top names back then. And then in the 1930s, ferrets were moving into the more quirky pet category. Names got more cuter. So you had names like Fidget, Sly, Rascal, Mischief, Smokey, Minky. So that's through the 1950s.
At number 10, Fidget. At number 9, Rascal. Up from that's right.
Moving up a notch to the 1950s, I'm Casey Kasem. Taking a look back at ferret names through the decades. Coming number in from the 1950s to 1970s was the TV American era. Pet names in general shifted towards friendly, domestic-sounding names. The top names for ferrets from the 1950s to the 1970s, Buddy, Bingo, Rusty, Lucky, Pepper, Coco, Penny, and coming in at number one on American Top 40, Sammy.
Sammy, I'd have never guessed.
Yeah.
It's a little dog named Snuggles.
Did somebody get the pictures? God damn it.
Is Don on the phone?
Is Don on the phone?
I want somebody to use their goddamn
motherfucking mind.
And I come up out of an up-tempo record, and I'm going to talk about a dog dying.
Yep. You exposed me to that reel.
Oh, yes. For the first time. That's some good stuff.
Yeah. What's funny, and I wish when back in those days, we ran Casey Kasem on our station. And and they would, you get station IDs from Casey.
Yeah.
And they'd come on a reel to reel. And sometimes he'd flub them up a little bit. And it would, and so we had our own, and it wasn't anything special. Like they didn't, I think they wouldn't have sent that, you know, but sometimes he'd like on sunny 90s, again, you know, and it would just be yeah. those sort of things that he'd, it was just kind of neat to hear, you know, the off, you know, off the air Casey.
The actual person as he is, not just what you hear on the air.
Yeah. You want to see listen to a horror story? Listen to the docu podcast on that.
Oh, I did.
On his end, have you that heard this, Todd?
Insane. I've heard about it, but no. What are you going to tell me?
Oh, it's interesting. I think Audible is where it is. If I'm correct,
I listened to it on. I think it's Spotify. An Audible.
Oh, you did. Okay. I think it was originally an Audible exclusive, but it's like a multi-part series. It's produced by his kids. But it's done like some of his friends are put it together. So there's a lot of radio folks in it. But it's just like, holy shit. I mean, the accusations are pretty stark. I know both sides have argued back and forth. You know, one says the other is lie. I mean, it's the way, you know, for who he was, what he represented and all that, the end of him was yeah. just horrific.
The end and after the end.
And after the end, all of it, utter fucking horrific.
I'm going on tour with my ashes and my wife is going to hide me. You find me and you win a grand prize.
That's kind of it, right?
Yeah, there. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah. And now a long distance dedication.
That's right.
To my wife, the woman from Cheers and the yeah. one who fell out the window on Ghostbusters.
That's right.
Yeah. That's yeah. It's a horrifying story. I'm surprised you have. Do you just not want to hear the story?
I mean, I followed it a little bit while it was going on. And yeah. I think it's just a time thing for me. I need to clear everything yeah. out and just sit down and listen.
Sure. That's a good one. That's a good just really like. Good. Get into it story. Check that one out. Let's go to a ghost story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
I'm actually an empath and have a million stories that I can share with you, but I'm going to go ahead and just share probably my worst one. So when I was 18, I got married and I had a little boy. By the time I was probably 20 and my son was only less than a year, and my husband started working night shifts and we were in a new apartment. And the first thing that had ever happened to me was I was doing the dishes one evening and I could hear someone whispering behind me. Well, my husband loves to play games on me, so I thought that he was just being an ass. So I turned around to smack him and he wasn't there. Thought I was tired and maybe I was just hearing things. While I continue to do the dishes, all of a sudden the voice gets louder and it's right in my ear and I can feel breath on my neck. So I think for sure it's him, turn around to smack him and no one's there. Scream at the top of my lungs. He comes running in and he's like, I don't know what's going on. I've been in the bathroom for like 20 something minutes. After that, I started hearing my name in whispers once in a while. I would also hear my baby's name in whispers too. I never heard my husband's name ever. For some reason, when real stuff started happening, it seemed that it was only when my husband was gone, almost as though it knew that my son and I were vulnerable without him there. The next few things that started to happen, I don't know if you've ever really listened to a baby monitor, but they pick up almost everything. And this is back even in like 2007. They were still pretty good. And you could hear the crunching on the carpet when someone would walk through. Well, one night I'm laying in bed and I have the monitor on and I can hear my son kind of cooing and crying. And all of a sudden I start to hear the crunching on the carpet and it's the exact distance of footsteps. I'm thinking maybe I'm just hearing something. But then I hear the rocking chair next to the monitor start to move. So I think someone's in my son's nursery and I run in to get him and no one's there. The next stuff that starts to happen is I start to hear our names on the monitor as well. And I start having nightmares. And I start having vivid dreams or what I'm not sure were dreams at all, where everything would be exactly how it was in my room, but a black figure would be standing in the corner of my room staring at me, and he would always be in different corners of the room. one day I was feeding my son his food, and I was still feeding him baby food. And he was eating, and if you've ever had an infant, you want to entertain them while they're eating, or they will be very stubborn. So I had him in front of the TV, probably about 6 feet away from the TV. He makes a mess, so I take the glass jar of baby food and a very cheap plastic spoon that I was feeding him with, put it in the jar and on top of the entertainment system. As I start to walk away, I hear a clink, and I turn around, and the jar is still upright on the entertainment system, but for some crazy reason, the spoon had come out and flown across the room to hit the high chair. After that, I started hearing my son get more hysterical and more upset in the middle of the night. So I went in one night after he was just absolutely inconsolable. And I get in the room, I pick him up, and when I would get my son, I would always keep the door open so that way there was some light coming in so I could see him. All of a sudden, I see him peer over my shoulder, so he's looking at something, and the door is slowly closing. Now, this is in the middle of the winter, so there's no AC on, and there's no windows open. It was too cold. So I freak out, sling the door open, and run out. And as soon as that happens, I look back, and the door is opening the other way. And I freak out and keep my son in my room, and rightfully so, that night. So after that had happened, I decided to bless the house, and I decided to pray over the apartment and everything. And I wasn't really a religious person, but I was kind of desperate. And so I prayed over it, and actually what had happened was the next 2 months were actually pretty quiet. So I thought I had maybe been freed from this thing. And then one night when my husband, again, was at work, we were in a small apartment. So my bedroom was right next to the front door, basically with a thin wall. And in the middle of the night, I hear the door open and then close again, someone walk in and lock the door. I assume it's my husband. He came home early, so I go out to greet him. No one's there. No lights are on, nothing. I call him, asking him if he came to the apartment at all. He said he's been at work and he can't talk to me because he's too busy. Something came into the apartment and let me know that it was there. After that, I had gotten so frustrated with what was happening that I finally decided to call this thing out. So in the middle of the night, I went into the family room and I sat in the dark and I demanded that whatever was there to let me know it was there. And it didn't answer and I was getting incredibly frustrated. So I finally said, "Are you there?" And I was very angry in the way that I said it. And there was a loud bang on the wall behind me. I was terrified, but I was so mad that this thing was starting to mess with my kid that I yelled, "Are you the one that's been screwing with me and my little boy?" And right as I said that, there were three loud bangs against the wall right behind me. And I started crying. I was terrified. I ran in the other room. I started telling my husband that we were going to look for a new place to live. While we were looking for a new place to live, my husband actually one night had taken care of the baby so I could sleep on his night off. I wake up in the morning and him and my son are asleep on the couch in the family room. And I asked him what happened. He said, "Maybe you're not so crazy. I think something might be going on. Last night I went to go get the baby because he was crying and I closed the door because I don't want any light in the room. And I noticed a black shape in the corner of the room up in the ceiling. And it starts to kind of freely move." And my husband's a very scientific person. So he tests to see if the light on the baby monitor is what's causing it. And he waves his hand in front of it and nothing happens. And then the shape starts to move all around the room, shoot across and disappear. So my husband was so terrified, he took the baby and he fell asleep on the couch that night. The last thing that happened there was we were getting ready to move and my husband was off that night. I kissed him goodnight and I went to bed. And while I was laying in bed, I felt someone sit on the edge of the bed. And then I felt something get in the bed and roll next to me. So I turned to kiss my husband goodnight, but no one was there. So I screamed, he came in, I told him what happened. And I told him, "I have to get out of here and I have to get out of here now." I believe it was that week that we had moved out. And while we were getting ready to leave, I was the last person in the apartment. And I stood there and said, "I don't know who you are or what you are or why you have this need to mess with me and my family, but you are not going to follow me and I will not hear from you ever again." And I never did.
And then it ends right there.
Wow.
That is like the most active, like all the things happened.
Yeah.
All of them. She heard it. It breathed on her neck. It's tormenting her and her child. And there's a black thing. Like
hanging around.
Yeah, that was a lot of activity.
It doesn't seem like, you know, your friendly ghost. It doesn't seem, it seems like something with dark intent going on here.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, there was a little validation, though, with the husband finally having his own experience. So then mm-hmm. it's like, okay, good. It's at least it's not all in my head and it's not me.
Yeah.
I think baby monitors, aren't they one of the scariest things that have come around? Because so many people, before there were video ones, there was the audio ones, obviously, and people were always getting stuff through those. And now you catch anything going on by your baby in your baby's room. It's on video now for a lot of them. And it's like, mm-hmm. I think ever since those were created, there's been more capturing of paranormal experiences in people's lives than probably ever before.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's been some good ones.
Yeah.
But it's so creepy because it involves your child.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that to me, that's when she got pissed off. And she was like, you know, are you messing with me? And then to have something hit the wall behind her and then do it again 3 times.
In defense of ghosts.
Okay.
If you're a ghost and you're trying to figure out this new dynamic that you're in and adults aren't seeing you, but you do have knowledge that, you know, little kids do seem to see things that adults don't do, or animals and things like that, would you not then seek out trying to go into like a little kid's room to just see if they notice you moving around?
Yeah.
If you're the curious ghost trying to figure out who's seeing you on the other side, you're not there to like to freak out the kid. You don't really want to do that. You just want to, you know, if you're noticed, that's pretty much it.
I would say yes to that. Like,
yeah.
I think if you're trying to communicate and the only way you can communicate is through a child, I think you're going to do that. You've got something to say.
Just to figure out what levers you're able to pull, like where sure. somebody is seeing you on the other side. Like, okay, well, this person doesn't see me. This one doesn't. Does this one that's, you know, one see me? And trying to make sense of it all. Wouldn't that be horrible?
Where's the shadow in the corner come in, though? Because that's kind of freaky.
Yeah, it seems like there's something. I mean, yeah. I'm just saying if you're a ghost, if you're a good ghost, not the shadow in the corner, that sort of. But if you're just a dead human and you're like, oh, well, how does this all work?
I will make a promise to you guys here and now. If I pass away before the two of you and you're still doing the ghost stories thing, I will come on as a guest and tell you anything you need to know. You can ask all the questions you want.
Awesome.
How are you gonna do it?
God, that's so nice.
Listen, we'll figure something out. My death word is pumpernickel. So if you hear that coming through, you know it's me. And then we'll figure out some way for me to tune into the system we use.
Some ghost box session or something,
yeah.
or something
yeah.
like that.
Can you manipulate the AI? That would be the most convincing. Because even if it's not you, it'll still seem like it is.
I think I'm too old to manipulate AI. I can hardly use it. So yeah, I think I'll be the one, like it'll be an old AM radio station
okay,
that I come through on.
Okay, we have to use the ghost box then and also like pumpernickel. Like, well, fuck.
Hello, Tony and Carol. It's Todd Pumpernickel.
And then we're like, we had another show planned today, but I guess we'll stop and talk to Tom.
That's right. You guys will be put out because I actually come through from the other side.
Thanks for interrupting the stories.
Thanks, Todd.
We have this whole show all planned out, but no, we'll make it about you.
Well, I guess I know that
God,
I will
I
not be.
It for my mother. I'm sorry.
I will not be coming through to you guys. Screw off.
Pumpernickel. Let's go to another phone call. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
This is Jason from Mentone, California. Kind of a little way down from going up to Forest Falls and a road to get to Big Bear. My story is, let me just start off on describing where I live. I live like in an apartment, and there's like four that are around, but they're not by each other. They're almost kind of like houses. And in the back, there's like a big field. And in the back, there's a big old barn that it seemed like it used to maybe hold horses at one point. But in front of that, there's a pet cemetery. And the only reason I know that is because me and my fiance, we walked over there right when we moved in just to check out the area. We just saw a bunch of sticks and crosses. And we were like, what's this? So we walk over and we see like dog names. And then we're kind of curious. So we asked the manager of that holds the whole area down. And she said, yeah, this is a pet cemetery. And she said that this is it. Also an Indian burial ground where our apartments were built. So that kind of just spooked us out, but whatever, we got over it. Fast forward, we've been living there for about 6 months actually. And this just happened about maybe a month and a half ago. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie It, the newest movie It, but I'll get more into that. Well, anyway, we were trying to go to sleep. We have two mattresses. One's in our bedroom and one's in our living room. We use one for the living room when the neighbors are too loud to the side of us and it blocks the noise. We don't want to get in an argument with them. So we just say, hey, let's just move from the bed into the living room. So we pull down the mattress and we go lay down to rest. So it's all nighttime. And this is the first time I've ever experienced what you would say sleep paralysis. So we have a little dog that sleeps with us wherever we go. I mean, if we're moving from the bed to the living room, he just sleeps with us. But anyway, I was laying, and from the back of me where the mattress lit, and I knew I was awake, but asleep at the same time. I just knew I couldn't move. And I looked, I tried to do as much as I can to look back to me, and the dog was just shaking. Like, and when I say the movie It is because there's a scene in the movie where he's down in the basement and he had his eyes creeping out in half of his head, and then he just shoots out and he's like spazzing out. Well, that's the only, I mean, description that I can really say that's how it felt. So I'm looking back and the dog is just shaking like crazy, crazy, crazy. And then I'm just freaking out because I can barely move. And I'm trying to look at my fiance and and just heard this demon voice just say, look at her, look at her, look at her. And the second I looked at her, I kind of just woke up and she was sleep talking. That's kind of what she does. She sleep talks. And kind of freaks me out because I never know what she's saying. It just, I woke up and I just cannot go back to sleep. Every time I went back to sleep, I got back into that stage where I just cannot move. And I kept hearing just random things. And I don't know. It just really freaked me out. So that's one story real quick. And there's another one that just happened last night. So that's why I had the urge to call. I was sleeping. This is the second time that I experienced sleep paralysis. I was just laying in the living room. I mean, in our actual bed, I just literally passed out. It felt like I passed out. I obviously went through a sleep paralysis stage again because I would look to the wall. We have no bears. Teddy bears because what in my dream, or what would you say, there was just teddy bears, like little baby teddy bears that you'd win like at a carnival, and they're all pinned up against the wall, and there was this pink one that was like kind of falling down the rack of bears. And at that point I thought I woke up, and I tried to turn to my wife or my fiance, and I was like there's a teddy bear that I just saw. She's like, no, it's fine. They're all stacked against the wall. Now it's like, no, it's falling. And then it shot and hit the bed. And that's when I snapped open. I mean, woke up. I was just like, oh my God. And my fiance, she was awake. She was like, what happened? I was like, I don't know. I'm freaking out. And I told her the story. And then she was like, oh my gosh, like she was freaking out herself. Cause we don't, like I said, it's a blank wall other than some posters. And she goes, oh my, that, you know, she was tripping out. And I was like, I felt my top of my mouth, and it felt like there was layers of extra teeth, like you would, you know, like a shark. So I was just freaking out. I couldn't go back to sleep. That's pretty much my story. Those are my stories. I don't have any more, but if you like, I can send some pictures of the pet cemetery because I still believe that's a little freaky. But anyways, I do appreciate the podcast. I found you guys on Spotify on my long drive, So, I mean, it really does help me out to get through my day. So thank you for listening to my story, and I hope you air it.
Well, good thing Kathy didn't hear that, since she just moved into a house with its own pet cemetery.
Shut up.
Yeah.
No, bad idea.
I'm going to guess any house of any age has a bit of a pet cemetery going on in it.
My house was built in 1940. There's got to be pets in the backyard.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Probably a body or two as well.
It could be. And hers could have a body or two as well, because it also has like Uncle Richard or something. I don't know exactly. Yeah. But there's more than just pet names.
That movie, the original, with Ed Gwynn and all those guys, Pet Sematary, one of the freakier ones ever.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred Gwynn, when he says, the soil of a man's heart is stonia, right? That's what he says. And then he says something like, sometimes dead is better, or something like that. Just the, I mean, the whole freaking thing is really spooky.
Are you watching Castle Rock? It was on Netflix. It's set in the Stephen King universe. It's just come back for a second season now after like 6 years.
Oh,
wow.
I remember watching it like in 2019. And all of a sudden I saw like, oh, new season. Like, what? So, it's interesting because you'll get references to his universe where there's all these different, you know, they all interact in different ways.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But creepy. Remember when he wrote the book called Joyland, Carol, that was loosely based on Joyland in Wichita?
About the Joyland here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really creepy. They should have turned that into some sort of haunted attraction.
It was dangerous.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
I mean, it was an abandoned theme park that sat there in the kind of a rougher part of town for a long time. And they tried to reopen it in like 2006. I remember, and it had been like it'd been shut down for quite some time. Then we were going to do we were broadcasting live from there that morning. Our morning show was. I was actually back at the station running the board, and they were going to do a stunt. They were going to have the morning show co-host John was going to ride this roller coaster. Some crazy amount of times. It was like going to be some sort of record they were going to try and set and like
honor 101
in honor of the park opening or whatever. And so it's the morning of, we're literally on the air, and okay, John's gonna ride on this roller coaster really soon, and like in that little window of like 10 minutes the roller coaster is announced that it is not just like closed for repairs. It's been condemned.
Oh my God.
Like, I've condemned
that.
Like, that's quite a word. Like, what do you mean? Like just not like, no, like it's never opening ever. It's been condemned. Like, which how did you not know sense? This going in? Yeah. Like, they had to have
because it was an old wooden roller coaster.
Yeah.
And it had been there for, I don't know, 50 years. Mm-hmm. And then it sat there for I don't know how many years. And it's like, yeah, this would be a good idea. But supposedly they did some work on it.
Yeah. And then the morning of condemned. So that bit didn't happen.
Like, well, why don't y'all come back to the station so I can go home and go back to bed?
And then it closed down like later that season. And eventually just went into disrepair. It's been burned out. Is there anything of it left, Carol, or is it all gone?
There's some like front of the buildings. I think like the Wacky Shack, but I think they went in and took out this stuff that would make it dangerous.
Is there like development or something over there? Or
no, nothing.
Oh,
well, nothing.
So it's still a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. A creepy spot waiting to be seen. There's some very interesting photography of that place. Some of the creepiest abandoned carnival or abandoned amusement park photos I've ever seen, done by the Mail, the Daily Mail in the UK. in that park.
Wow.
Years ago. Look up those photos. They're very, very good. Very,
I will.
Very creepy. All right. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all that stuff, check us out. Apple Podcasts and Patreon, also another place to get all of the bonus content and support the program. And go ad-free. Go check that out. Until next time, for Carol and Todd, I'm Tony. Thank you for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.